Friends, it is a great disappointment for me not to be with you in person today and to be able to worship together and celebrate Eucharist together, but these are the times that we live in, and thanks be to God for this gift of technology that allows us to be together in spirit, at the very least, if not in person. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. On this Epiphany Sunday, the two great movements of the entire Christian story are contained in our Gospel reading this morning. That God comes to meet us where we are, and God invites us to go on a journey. Jesus, the Word of God, the Word through whom all things were made, is incarnated, made flesh, made human being in order to live among us. Why? Because from the foundation of the world, God has wished to be close to us. God has wished to have a relationship with us. And although we have many times pulled away from God's love, we have pulled away from God's grace, this has not stopped God from loving us and wishing to have a relationship with us. So down through the ages, God has tried different strategies. You know, God has tried threats. God has tried bribes. God tried to reward us for good behavior. God tried sending prophets to show and tell us how profoundly we were messing things up. But again and again, we human beings are amazingly resourceful at ignoring and avoiding God's pointed messages to us. I mean, we still are, I think, to this day. In the end, this was something God had to do personally. It wasn't working to invite us into God's life, and so God entered into our lives. God became human in the person of his Son in order to meet us exactly where we are. This is something that we proclaim every Sunday in our prayers and our creeds and our Eucharistic celebrations, and it's so familiar to us, it's easy to overlook how intensely beautiful it is, how powerful and important it is that God is so persistent in wishing for that relationship, that God wishes to have that relationship with us so much, that God loves the world so much, that God got down out of the heavens and came to meet us in the most intimate of ways, in our flesh and our skin and our struggles and our flaws and our stubbornness and our short-sightedness and our frailty. God came to meet us in the person of his Son, in the midst of what makes us most deeply human. That is the heart of the Christian story. Whether we're great saints or great sinners, God knows it all, and God comes to meet us anyway, because God cares deeply about us and longs to have a relationship with us. And so God became flesh to dwell among us, a tiny baby, nestled in a manger, born in blood and drenched in muck, as all of us are, surrounded by the smells of the manger and the creatures and all their creaturely smells. Here is God, vulnerable and naked and screaming and desperate for milk. Here is God, looking at last through human eyes, seeing his mother, seeing his stepfather, seeing these shepherds and these animals and the inside of this barn. Here, God is come in the flesh to meet us fleshy creatures. That is the first movement that has happened in our gospel today. God comes to meet us. But today on this Feast of the Epiphany, we celebrate a second arrival too, the second movement of the gospel. Because God has sent an invitation in the form of a star, calling, enticing, inviting visitors to come to this barn. And these three faithful pilgrims had felt that invitation deep in their hearts, and they left everything to follow where it led. Today, on this Feast of the Epiphany, we celebrate that they saw that star and they heard that invitation from God and they said yes. And they allowed their yes to God to profoundly change their lives forever. This is the second movement of the gospel. Not only does God come to meet us in the person of his Son, God offers an invitation to each and every one of us to go on a journey. The invitation is tailored for each one of us individually. God holds out his hand and longs for us to say yes and to take our next step in our own journeys of faith. The Christian story is composed of these two movements that cannot be divided. God comes to meet us, and God invites us on a journey. And God's grace to us in each is perfectly balanced. God sees us with grace. God meets us where we are and loves us as we are now. Yet God holds out personalized invitations for each of us to be transformed. For each of us to be part of his great work of redeeming the world, not just recipients, participants, not just passive observers, but disciples. And God longs for us to say yes. Yes, not just once, but over and over and over again. Let me tell you a personal story. All the way across the Atlantic Ocean, most of the way across France, it feels like the other side of the universe right now, but there in the middle of beautiful, lush, rolling countryside, perched on the side of a tiny hill, is the community of Teze. And what started 75 years ago with one guy praying in a tiny hamlet church has grown into a monastery with hundreds of brothers and a weekly program that attracts people from all over the world, hundreds of thousands of young people, tens of thousands of adults every single year from every continent on earth. And if you may remember, we had 200 people right here at Holy Trinity for a Teze prayer a couple of years ago. Maybe some of you will remember that. Well, I first went to Teze when I was 24, at the recommendation of my parish priest, and it was at Teze that I was finally able to open my heart to God and to acknowledge the deepest sins of my life and to be forgiven and to begin my journey of transformation. All those years of fear and shame that I carried, the burden of my own sin, finally, I had come to God and I was able to lay it down, trusting in God's love, allowing God to see what it was and to give it to God, trusting in God's love. And that great yes to God and to God's love in that moment of repentance and forgiveness, it has transformed my life. But it has transformed my life not just once. It has transformed my life over and over again. Over and over again, I have to let God meet me right where I'm at. I have to relax under God's loving, seeing, knowing gaze and acknowledge how I have yet another step to take in my journey of transformation. Time and time again, I have to learn patience, humility, courage, self-discipline, trust, compassion, and self-giving. I have to learn grace in my daily life. I need to learn to accept God's love and receive the love of those around me. I have to learn these things again and again. Here is a small example. I get impatient in traffic. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one here who gets impatient in traffic. I talk angrily to my fellow drivers through the glass. They can't hear me, but I still somehow talk to them. I get grumpy, you know, when people sneak up the side and cut in late. Oh, that makes me grumpy. I feel somehow claustrophobic and I get so tense. And you know what? We live in Marteloup, and I don't know why, but in the last 2 years, the traffic on the main street in Marteloup has just gotten crazy every hour of the day and night. Like it's just rush hour all the time. So just doing normal things around our neighborhood, oh, I get grumpy. And last year they cut off this really convenient left-hand turn that got us right home. And so now, man, I get even grumpier now. And so every day I have an opportunity to learn that lesson of grace all over again. Take a deep breath. There's no need to panic. You know what, Clara, if that person sneaks in, you're going to get home like 3 seconds later than you would have if you crowded him out. I mean, take a deep breath. Be nice. Try to live that transformed life. Try to find God's grace. Every single time, God is there, patiently holding out that invitation to relax and take a deep breath. An invitation from God, tailored just for me, to a life which is just that much more beautiful for me to live and just that much more pleasant for the drivers around me. Every time I drive through my neighborhood, that invitation is there. To notice, to repent, and be transformed yet again. To say yes to the grace God wishes to pour out upon the world moment by moment, and to be part of it. Yes, Lord, I will one day learn this lesson that you're trying to teach me. Yes, Lord, give me some time, okay? And I'll come around to it again. Yes, Lord, I really don't feel like saying yes right now, but I hear you. Time and time again, God meets me where I'm at, full of grace, full of truth, and God invites me on another step of my journey. And God waits patiently. Always delighted when a yes bubbles somehow to the surface, even if it sometimes takes a while. I mean, I've been at this traffic thing for several years now, and God never gets tired of making that invitation in love. Not everything in Christian life is about small things like how we drive in traffic. When the invitation is about something much bigger, much more serious, much more deeply transformative, God is still endlessly gracious, endlessly patient, holding out that invitation, waiting for me to say yes, waiting for you to say yes to an invitation perfectly tailored to your life. God always meets us where we are with love, and God always invites us to take another step. And that, my friends, is the Christian story. That is the gospel we recount every Sunday. We proclaim the good news and we hear the call to repent. We tell the great story of the incarnation, crucifixion, and the resurrection in the Eucharistic prayer. And then we have an altar call to come forward for communion. It's the story we rehearse with one another in all of our services, the great gospel of Epiphany. And that is the story that God is unfolding right now in all of our lives, even in the midst of this very difficult and wearying pandemic. Right now, God meets you where you are, wherever you are at, with love. And right now, God is holding out an invitation just for you, perfectly tailored to this exact moment in your life, inviting you once again, to be transformed, to live a life just that much more beautiful for you to live, a life just that much more beautiful for all the people around you. This Epiphany Sunday, friends, at the start of, please God, let it be a brand new year. May God give you the courage to take that invitation, to follow that shining star. May God give you the courage to say yes and to begin another phase in your journey of faith. Thanks be to God. for his marvelous, patient, persistent work of grace. Amen.